Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 22nd of November, recording at 9:37 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, tonight's audio focuses primarily on interesting technical developments. Well, I might say that they're always interesting technical developments, but there are a few that merit special attention here. First, on stock markets. Are we seeing some cracks in this uptrend performance that has really dominated markets since the middle of last August? In other words, are stock market indices starting to falter? We've got a bit of evidence. For instance, Australia's AS51 index, that's the main index for the Australian market, which has been among developed markets the pace setter, basically, along with New Zealand. That Australian market had a downward dynamic on Monday. It wasn't earth-shattering, but it was the biggest that we've seen, say, for several months. New Zealand, on the other hand, had just basically moved sideways. But another leader, big leader among emerging markets, would be less important. But I note these things. The emerging markets often lead. It's called the MexBall index. That had a downward dynamic here today. And then on Friday, which I hadn't noticed my review through, but the German DAX had a small downside key day reversal, and we had some downward gaps in the European markets here today. Now, two ways to look at this. One could turn extremely bearish, or be prepared to turn extremely bearish on the basis of that technical evidence. The other one is to say, well, let's stand back here a minute. We've had a terrific run. Most of those indices had, well, European indices at any rate, and the U.S. indices, Dow excepted, had only recently broken up out of the year's long trading ranges. So they're due to pause and consolidate. There's nothing sinister about that, and it's no problem. Now, I agree with that generally, and I think that the script that I've been offering here for the last few months now, that we were going to see pretty strong fourth quarter for stock markets, and that could easily carry well into the first quarter of 2005 before I suspect we run into trouble. Now, factors that can really rattle markets are talk of a crisis, and we had concern over a crisis regarding the oil price, and that was last month rather than this month, and we also had much more recently talk of a possible dollar crisis. Now, a crisis is very often largely in the mind, but if investors feel that there's some sort of crisis out there, then they become very cautious, and it becomes a temporary crisis at any rate in terms of sharp market reaction. So we have to watch this fairly carefully. Another market that I should have mentioned, conspicuous by its absence. I didn't like the downward dynamic on Japan today. Okay, it's still the Nikkei still range bound, but it was down 2.11%, 233 points to my chagrin, because I've got a couple of long positions and I'm annoyed with seeing those move into profit and then back into losses where they've been for the most part. Not prepared to bin them here yet, but I did think this morning, should I actually be opening a short position in the DAX? I didn't, and I'm kind of glad I didn't, because it pared back its decline, closed down only 10-11 points on the day, and Wall Street has closed up. It's pretty good performance there by Wall Street, as it had that shakeout on Friday. Okay, fair enough to have a little bit of profit taking, but some of the Asian markets and certainly the European markets were decidedly shaky today, and Wall Street closed pretty well near the highs of the day, up 32.5 on the Dow, nearly 7 points on the S&P and 14.5 on the NASDAQ. That doesn't make up for the sell-off that we had on Friday, but as I say, this looks to me like a consolidation, and no worse, but I don't want to be complacent, and more about those crisis perception possibilities in a moment. Bonds. So this is really interesting. They're still very steady in here. Now, there was that sell-off, I think, on Friday. It came down quite sharply, and I rued the fact that I hadn't been selling short when they were up near the 114 level on the U.S. December contract for Treasury bonds. They bounced back here today, partially, up half a point to 13.06. And with those with that inflation data that we had last week, you know, why is this market really so steady in here? Well, I think the short answer to that is that we're getting that voracious demand still coming in from Japan, China, and other Asian countries. And I think now I've just lost my train of thought. How embarrassing! But I think that's the main factor here. And we've got to also conclude that. Well, no, I know what the other factor was, that there is still one heck of a lot of liquidity around. Now, again, I refer you to that bank credit analyst, the BCA, a global liquidity index that they calculate that I've published a couple of times, which showed last month, at any rate, that it was at a record all-time high. So that's the rising tide that lifts all boats, I suppose. But not all these boats are equal, and as I've said, I think that bonds are the most vulnerable area, and I will be looking to add to my short position in U.S. Treasuries, possibly also the JGBs. Both these positions are under the water. The JGB is a little bit more under the water here right now due to concern over Japan's growth rates. But I've taken some reasonable profits out of these bond markets by shorting them so far this year. That doesn't make me complacent about today's action, but overall, big picture, it still looks to me like top extension, and that is a baby steps sell on the rallies and sell short on the rallies and cover some of those positions on the sell-offs, if not all of them, as I've done previously. Okay, more interesting area here is the U.S. dollar. Now, if we're going to have a perception of a crisis that rattles all the markets, it's going to be centered on the dollar, in my view. That's certainly what is attracting most of the media copy headlines and financial television, television chat. Everybody's talking about this. And as a number of people have said to me, well, everybody's bearish of the dollar. Yes, they are, for the most part, but given that this trend is really only about a month old, if that, it stands to reason that there are probably still some more talking bears than acting bears of the U.S. dollar, although certainly the volumes have picked up and the positions opened have been considerable over the last month, but that was starting from a rather low base. In other words, the market was mainly neutral prior to that. And I haven't checked on my screen to see how much Euroland jawboning we've had today, but the dollar's, I beg your pardon, the euro is quite steady in here, 130.45 as I speak. That's only 7 ticks off the high of the day. So the dollar does remain under pressure against pretty much all the currencies. Now, you know, the one I'm playing in here is the Australian dollar, and subscribers being very helpful and just watching, I said I was concerned about, or I'd want to know if there was any jawboning starting to take place, and I received just a few minutes ago, Australia is way ahead of us in the time zone, but in Tuesday's Australian review, that Australian Treasurer Peter Costello has warned the strong Australian dollar could cut growth by denying exporters the benefits of an improvement in the global economy. And That was sent by Terry McMahon, and I thank you very much for that item. Now, we haven't had much of a change. I'll just put this up here just to see what we've got at the moment. It's down a tiny bit, 13 ticks on the day. It's very steady here. It's 78.20 now, 78.26, down 12 ticks. Very consistent and orderly chart here. This is my biggest position, and I know a number of you also have this who trade currencies. I still maintain that, or hope that, the Kiwi dollar is a very good example. The Kiwi dollar had actually led the charge, got up to its former high, which is near 70 US cents, then that was the February high, and then had a small downward dynamic, had its biggest shakeout since the rally started, but it was really kind of a two-day wonder, and then the New Zealand dollar steadied and ranged for a little bit, and then pushed back into new high ground, has extended that move. That nothing works out exactly the same, but that's a possibility here as the Australian dollar pushes up from its current level of 78.26 towards that 80 cent level, which is the region of its February high, and obviously also a bit of a psychological round number. I may do a wee bit of baby steps lightning, assuming I don't get shaken out, not get a trailing stop on this. I may do a little bit of baby steps lightning as we approach that 80 cent level. And looking at it right now in this tight trading range, if it stays true to form to what we've seen with these small consolidations on the way up, then my guess is that, you know, we might see another couple of days near current levels, and then it pushes higher before the end of the week. If it surges again, that would be acceleration, and I would definitely lighten a bit. But the main theme here is perceptions regarding the dollar. If the dollar starts to slide very rapidly relative to what we've seen so far, then I would expect to see stock markets hit, because there's some pretty good gains in stock markets, and I think people would start to nail those down. And so you want to be on the alert for that possibility. Okay. I see I have a question here. I almost never produce notes on these, but could dollar weakness trigger a crisis mentality? The answer is yes. I think I pretty well covered that. Now, gold. Interestingly, gold is still leading in the metals. And the only other metal which has hit a new high this month was lead, and then it fell back a bit. My lead position was stopped out here today, as I mentioned on the service, but good profit, fortunately. And these backwardations help. Contrast that with the corn position, where I'm bottom fishing and there's still an oversupply situation. It's a little bit like the metal markets were, say, 4 years ago. And you've got those contangos, which mean that if it just trades sideways, you're going to lose money. But let's get back to gold. Gold, as I speak, is in the after hours trading. I'm looking at it at 448.94, so nearly 449. Now, I'd been saying for the last at least 2 or 3 weeks, I've been saying that I felt that ever since really that gold broke above that 430 level, that its pattern, I'm sure you recall its weekly chart pattern, because I've posted that so many times, and it's characterized by months and months of ranging, quite boring, and then you get an explosive run which lasts a few weeks, then you go into another long ranging period. Well, my minimum upside, I've been saying the same for the last 2 or 3 weeks, that I would expect to see at least 450 before the end of the year. Now, we're within a dollar of that, effectively, and there's a that's a bit of a psychological reassessment point. I'm the risk of being complacent, I really don't see any big downside shakeout on the cards here, especially if the US dollar continues weak, as it appears likely to do for at least the short term. Now, I've got a reasonable position now in the gold futures, which is the best way to play it. And a lot of people have said from time to time, well, gold's only going up against the US dollar. Well, you take out a leveraged position in the gold futures, as a number of us have done and do from time to time, and that's fine. You take the run. That can be very lucrative, but again, that's a leveraged trade. But my belief is that we will see gold moving considerably higher over the next 10 to 15 years against all paper currencies. But that hasn't happened yet, so this is still the stealth bull market, still in its infancy. There are whole regions of the globe that just aren't interested at this stage. But interest is increasing. We see that evidenced by the price action that's taking place here today, and this is where I want to be, very much for a further run on this leveraged trade. Now, oil. I missed an opportunity in here this morning because I picked up natural gas, doubled up my position last week, and my original position, which had been mostly underwater, got up to just over break even earlier today, which put a nice profit on to the position that I purchased on Friday. But crude oil fell back, and then natural gas went and pushed into the minus side. This is the second area where possibly we could see a crisis, but I kind of in affecting stock markets, crisis mentality, I should say. But I doubt it. I have said that oil has steadied, and we had probably seen the downside for a while. I don't regard this as any more than a medium-term correction within a secular bull market. It has probably, as I say, probably bottomed here for the near term. Thus, I'm content to hold that natural gas in here at this stage. But it's probably something that I should be trading, and well, that's pretty much what I've done all along. Okay, I think that's about it. Remember, just to wrap up on this, stock markets overextended in the short term, vulnerable to a consolidation. I don't think we'll see worse than that unless the dollar falls a lot faster than even the dollar bears are expecting at the moment. Good night.